And this is how the second longest World Series game in history ended last night.
11:50 in Los Angeles. Freeman sends a fly ball to center field. Varsho's going back before the clock strikes midnight. Freeman has ended it. It's a repeat hero.
Can't even hear him.
Word and a game three classic.
They're pretty loud for 10 to midnight.
Yeah.
Almost 7 hours.
That's a lot of baseball.
You know,
that's a lot of baseball.
It's a long time to do anything.
Literally. I need so many snacks.
Right.
Oh, my God.
A lot of bathroom trips. Oh. Yep.
I couldn't do it.
No.
I bet the players were tired, too. They're like, come on.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's tired.
Jammies.
Dodgers beat the Blue Jays 6-5. They lead the series 2-1. This is a historic game. It's not the first game, World Series game, to go 18 innings. The Red Sox did it when they were playing the Dodgers in 2018. Boston won that game. That one holds the longest record. That one went 7 hours and 20 minutes. Last night's game was almost 7 hours.
Wow.
There's got to be a better way.
Seriously.
You know, 18 innings. It's 2 games right in a row. Like, I can't even take one.
I don't know. I feel like there's something about serious baseball watchers and fans. They like kind of like that misery of like, no, we're in this the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The intensity of like every pitch matters.
Yeah.
When the score is tied and the game's on the line and it's World Series, it's pretty intense. I can't take that intensity that long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're intense people.
It's like I came here for a good time. Yeah. Now it's like intense. It's too tense.
Now I'm looking at my watch. Yep.
There's that middle spot in the concert. Maybe a little past middle where I'm like, you know, I'm good. Like, how long are we away from the encore part where we all get excited again because they left stage and now we know it's almost over? Yeah. Am I the only one like that?
No, I have ADHD. I'm 100% like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I could probably beat the traffic now if I leave.
Yeah. It's not beating the traffic. It's like, okay, I'm good. Yeah. You know, unless you have hit after hit after hit.
Yeah.
It feels a little less at a concert like anything can happen. Like, they've got their set list. Like, certain things are going to happen. At a baseball game, it legitimately feels sometimes like, man, anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
Yeah, you can't miss it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, that is.
What's the longest shift anyone's worked? If you're listening, what's the longest shift you worked? Because, you know, we're like, wow, they worked for 7 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
They for baseball $30 million.
Yeah, really. I'll do that. I'll do that.
Wow. Poor men.
Oh, I know. Must have been hard.
They must be exhausted by now.
Could buy whatever you want after.
Those poor things.
You know who had the worst time of that game? The freaking organist.
Oh, probably.
Can you imagine? Dun, 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 dun. 7 hours, 20 minutes. Dun, 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 dun.
My fingers are so tired.
Are the people pouring the beer? Oh, man.
Oh, that stops. They like at 7th inning, it doesn't matter how late the game goes. That just shuts off.
Wow, that would make me mad.
Stay without their beer?
No beer.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, I'm like, I'm gone.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Well, let's switch weed now.
Chaz and AJ.
Yeah, the longest shift I worked was plowing snow for 14 hours straight.
Oh, okay.
It's a big driveway.
Well, that's, it's dangerous, too.
Yeah.
How do you stay up for 14 hours?
You just kind of get into, like, you're basically like a zombie, you know? You're just moving off instinct at that point.
Right. That's funny, because sometimes you drive to work or something, and you kind of just go into, like, autopilot. And you get to work. Exactly. You didn't even think about driving. You show up, you're like, I don't even remember driving here.
Those are most days I drive in my 20s.
Snow plowing for 14 hours, that had to be more than like 10 years ago, right?
I think it was the storm of 2013, I believe that was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because we haven't had a good winter in a long time.
I know.
That was the last time people were, like, just stuck in their homes.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, I can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was I think it was 2013.
Yeah, I think you're right. I remember there was no place to put the snow in my driveway. we're out of room here.
Right.
All right, thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
All right, you too. What's the longest shift you worked? John Miller Place.
Good morning, crew.
Hey.
Good morning. When I was 17, AJ, you'd laugh. I used to work for the Meadow Club in Port Jeff.
The what club?
And the Meadow Club. It was a catering hall.
Yeah. Okay.
And we used to do, so I was 17. I worked a 16-hour shift with literally a 10-minute break. That was it.
Oh,
wow.
What is a 16? What? 16 hours?
We would do, yeah, because
the
we
catering
would
do, hall?
You had to do prep,
we
right?
We did five weddings. Oh. Yeah, we did five weddings a weekend.
Oof.
I'd get there on Friday. We would do the Friday night wedding. Then Saturday, we would do the 1 o'clock wedding. And literally, as the last guest was leaving, we would push them out. And then new blueprint, roll out the next wedding.
Oh, man.
Like 2 a.m.
I had a weekend like that.
Yeah.
A couple. Yeah, where you do a Friday night, a Saturday afternoon, a Saturday night, and then a Sunday event.
And usually Sundays were double headers. Mm-hmm. We would have two weddings on a Sunday as well.
Wow.
It was torture. Yeah, and then I'd have to go to school that Monday morning. That was torture.
Oh my God.
Lasted maybe like a month and a half. I was done.
You can't just watch your life erode like that.
Yeah, can't like have a full-time. Oh.
It was funny because it was like rinse, lather, repeat. It wasn't like the most glamorous wedding hall. So it was like predictable. The same group of DJs. It was the same disco inferno was when I would come on. I know to go take the dinner orders. And, there's always kids running around.
Yeah, it became too routine. Would they use, because you said it wasn't like a class A wedding venue, would they use uneaten chicken from wedding one at wedding two?
You know, that's a good question. I don't remember. But
they did.
Probably.
Yeah. You want to know why your bread's already buttered?
It happens a lot. You know, the trays don't go out. It's like, okay.
That's
awesome. Some of these pieces of chicken get paid for five times.
Yeah.
And we want to
those fries cost money, man.
Paid for that piece of chicken.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
You want to talk funny real quick before I run with the meal. I remember one time having to carry over 30 dinners on the tray. And that was also, you know, being exhausted. They taught us how to carry the tray with your left hand and hold it right. But, you know, 30-plus dinners, drunk people, I'm trying to, like, get out of the way.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Off.
Yeah. Pressure cooker.
All right. Thank you, John. Beef man?
Yeah. I did a 40-hour shift one time.
Come on.
It was crazy.
40 hours.
Come on.
No, an IT, man, when you start doing big conversions over the weekend, Chaz, you stay there till it works. Cause they gotta
all right,
on
you
Monday morning.
Stayed there, slept on the floor, but you slept, right?
I got a little sleep. I fell asleep waiting for a tape mount. This was the old days when you had big mainframes.
Wow.
I didn't like that. You talk to a lot of programmers. You do a lot of all-nighters, 24 hours, 30 hours.
No, I get that, but you went straight 40 hours with a little sleep here and there.
Ooh. Yeah, because I was working in Stanford, living in Madison. I couldn't go home and go to sleep. So I was nice to the guys. I'll stick around and watch this stuff run, and it happens.
Yikes.
It's not as glamorous as people think, you know?
Well, that's why you're wealthy now.
Exactly right.
Oh, is that it?
Those Jaguars.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's why you're not tuna man, you're beef man.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You're not cat food man, you're beef man.
He's filet man.
Cat don't eat
man.
Chicken.
That's right, he's filet man.
Make sure you eat beef at weddings because it's got to be medium rare. They can't hold it over from before, right?
So. Right.
Yeah, I always go for it.
Gotcha.
There's a, I don't want to get into it, but there was a story in Shelton at a wedding hall I played at.
Okay. That,
you know, and it was, we all knew it was happening. The chicken didn't get eaten, so it's coming back out at 3.
Right.
And there was a news story. A bunch of people had to go to the emergency room. That place is long, long gone. But, not good.
Oh. Sal Manella showed up?
Yeah, Uncle Sal Manella.
Hey, how you doing? Sal Manella, I've been good.
Drew in Monroe.
Morning, everyone.
Hey, what's the longest shift you work?
There was a time for about 6 months when I was working 3 12-hour overnights as a nurse in a row, and then I would come home and sleep for 3 hours and go do 16 hours on the ambulance.
Wow.
Oh. Damn.
Yeah,
wow.
About 10 years off my life.
Yeah, it'll do that.
Sounds like you're still tired.
Wow. Well, thanks for being a nurse.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you still doing it?
Still a nurse, not an EMT.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. No, you can't do both for that long.
Yeah.
What kind of nurse are you?
I work in the cath lab at a local hospital.
Okay. Do you deal with patients or you're in a lab?
Deal with patients, like heart attack type stuff.
Oh, okay. Oh. That doesn't seem like they'd be rude, right?
No, it's like the coolest job in the world.
Yeah, yeah. You just had a heart attack that straightens your attitude out.
Right.
Usually it's like the people scared for their life and then they're immensely grateful moments later. So
Right. That's good.
Not just tipping your hose.
I'm not a fan of people who are rude to nurses when they're trying to help you.
Yeah.
Yeah? Not a fan.
Absolutely.
Not a fan.
Then go help yourself, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Here you go. How about this? I roll you out in the street and you figure it out yourself. Oh, okay?
Or I could just I could just crimp your ear hose.
I'd be like, surprise finger prick. Every finger.
All right. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it.
Oh, boy. It's time for Dumbass News.
99.1 PLR.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News. Dumbass.
Look, kids.
Hey.
AJ.
Dumbass. The keyboards. Dumbass.
Dan. Emily Sierra in studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A woman admits to booty call arson attack.
Oh. Yeah.
Booty's on fire.
Right. On fire.
Fire. Hot booty.
A New Jersey woman has pled guilty to the 4 a.m. torching of a man's home after he fell asleep inside and stood her up on a booty call.
Oh.
Whoa. That's extreme.
Her name, Tasha Russell, 35 years old, hit with multiple charges, including attempted murder. Russell had traveled to the Woodbury home of victim Curtis Stokes, who told the cops, quote, he invited the defendant to his residence to have sexual intercourse.
Good heavens.
End quote. Stokes added that Russell was a side chick with whom he had been having sex.
Okay.
He could put side chick in the report, but not like booty call. Right? Sexual intercourse.
The pair's pre-dawn communication had consisted of Russell texting Stokes, quote, hello, to which he romantically responded, quote, bring ya ass.
Bring ya ass. Nice.
So sweet.
Romantic.
Bring your ass's house. Yep. She was a Hallmark.
So romantical.
It is. My toes curled. Oh, my God.
Nice to remind her, you know, this should come with you.
Right. Yes. Bring your ass.
Yeah. I don't need any other part of you.
Yeah.
Right. Just bring your ass.
Bring your ass.
Oh, this girl. How far does she drive?
By the time she arrived, Stokes had fallen asleep and did not respond to her at the door.
Wasn't stoked anymore.
Incensed, Russell sent a text, quote, you wasted my money to come out here.
No.
She got no reply, and then she got upset.
Girl, that's why you never go that late in the night to see a man. You just don't do that.
How far have you driven for a man for a
booty?
Never,
never, please, never. I think in my early 20s, I was living in Glastonbury. I made it down to Wallingford because I matched with this one guy on Bumble. It was like exit 14, and he was such a waste of time. I was like, never again, we're doing this.
Right.
Never again. He made me pay for my Monte Cristo. I was like, I'm not even worth a panini. F
wow.
Yeah. I'm not even worth a panini.
The punani's not worth a panini. What the hell? So yeah, I was like, never again. I don't play like that.
No. So she's at the door, he's not answering, she gets upset, she texts you, the letter U, smoked.
You smoked.
Okay, then some time went by and she texted, I see you want to die.
Oh. This is ramping up good nicely.
And then some time went on and she texted, I swear to God, I hope you die.
Did she ever try to call him to wake him up? That's when I'm in like crazy girl mood. I'll call you like five times. Be like,
or bang on the door,
bang on the window.
Yeah,
break a window.
Break and enter before a fire. Yeah.
Beep the horn.
So Russell leaves. She goes to the Conoco gas station. She purchased lighter fluid, matches, and a cigarette lighter.
Oh,
that's being prepared. Matches and a cigarette lighter.
Yeah, she's like, just
right.
It might be windy.
She wanted the satisfaction of lighting the match, but also do the job good.
She returned to Stokes' home and set a fire outside the rear apartment's sole entrance and exit.
She's going to light your ass up.
Yeah,
that's not, I'm going to burn your car. I'm going to burn the siding on your house. You're not getting out.
God, I'm going to kill you.
Did she not think, like, is this man going to be worth the jumpsuit? Like,
Stokes told police he awoke to the smell of smoke, was unable to leave via the door as the fire was too intense. Stokes, who suffered first and second degree burns, forcefully removed an entire window frame to escape.
There you go. That's motivation. He's awake now.
Lauren, the kindergarten teacher.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. Hey. Good morning.
Morning. I have a... You know what? I'm going to side with the woman on this one. She had to bring her whole ass, you know? She had to, obviously, you know, if she spent money, she probably had to hire a moving company. These things are heavy.
Moving company for her ass?
Moving company for what?
To
move her ass.
To bring her ass.
That's a big ass.
She had to bring her ass. So she had to hire a moving company. She's making a case. She's defending.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I'm defending her because you know how these things are, you know?
Have you ever thought you might want to burn someone who stood you up?
I thought of it. I didn't ever do it.
Right, yet. No.
Exactly where is it that you teach these kindergarten kids? Kids,
what do you
today,
teach them exactly?
We're going to learn how to light matches.
Right? If you don't text someone back, you set them on fire.
Yeah, they're still learning how to text. No, they're teaching me how to text is more like.
Okay, good.
Right. Yeah.
All right, kids, today.
How far did you travel?
This is lighter fluid. These are matches. Yeah, they'll make a little paper cutout. This is the man who stood me up last night. And today, we're going to learn how to...
finish him.
Burn him!
Today's correct with letter A for arsonist.
It's conflict resolution at its best.
And you teach kids.
Have a nice day, guys.
Have a nice day. Have a nice day. Yes. I took a weird turn.
It really did.
So she went to the gas station. She picked up lighter fluid matches, a lighter. She lit the back door on fire. It was the only way out. Stokes couldn't get out the door. He suffered first and second degree burns. He had to take a window frame out to get out.
Yeah. Whew. That's funny. He didn't light her back door on fire, so she lit his.
Michael nice. Moran, the city historian of New Haven, in studio. What about pumpkins?
Pumpkins have been here a long time. Halloween has not been here for that long, if you think of it in historic terms. You know, New Haven was settled by English people in 1638. The Quinnipiacs were here for 8,000-10,000 years. And Halloween,
the Quinnipiacs have...
The original people of this land were here for 8,000 or 10,000 years. And Halloween doesn't really shows up in the newspapers in Connecticut around 1827, not about Connecticut, but about celebrations in Scotland, which was one of the great centers along with Ireland and Germany and others. And the first time Halloween really shows up about this area is in the 1880s. And by that time, there were a lot of Irish people living here, as well as Scots, Germans, and other people who were bringing that tradition. So Halloween is relatively new in terms of...
Did they bring the Halloween with candy and kids in costume, or did that
not
evolve?
With candy and costume. That okay. sort of begins in the 1920s. In the 1880s...
The candy companies did it to us?
Candy companies were a big part of it, and, you know, good stuff. In the 1880s and 1890s, you see sort of celebrations of Halloween, formal celebrations, and lots and lots and lots of pranksters. And Mischief Night was oftentimes what right. Halloween was called. There's an article in 1889 that says all the police will be on duty because people are going to be out, and all kinds of, you know, bunches of gates were taken, and a bunch of them have never been found.
That's New Haven now.
it's you know, all kinds of suburban and urban and all kinds of places still do that today. But so that's, you know, the past 150 years and 100 years or so of what we think of our traditional trick-or-treating and candy and all that kind of stuff that everybody's going to be doing on Friday evening. But pumpkins go back way back. Pumpkins were here before English people or other immigrants came here. They were here when the Quinnipiac were here. So Connecticut pumpkins have a long history. And Connecticut pumpkins are actually some of the best pumpkins for carving, arguably the best pumpkins for
really?
Carving.
Why is that? Wow.
Just because they're sort of well-made and they're well-suited for carving.
Interesting.
So we can, you know, we can have great Connecticut pride in our Connecticut pumpkins.
Dennis in Westport.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I got a story about, actually it was last night when I was watching the ball game. Came across Mary Hart sitting next to home plate. She used to be on American Entertainment or Entertainment Tonight, rather. Some woman was buried alive in Evergreen Cemetery out there in near Elagrasa Boulevard. And there was a story I got on Google only because I looked up a little information on Mary Hart. The woman's name was Mary E. Hart.
Right.
They call her Midnight Mary, buried alive. I don't know if your guests knew about that or not, but you guys can Google it, get the full story of the video.
We do know about it. It's a great story, and you know, unclear exactly what the story is. It may be that her tombstone led to the people claiming later that she had been buried alive. It's not clear that she was actually buried alive. There is later people who say that. But she died close to Halloween, I think, on October 15th, 1872. And her tombstone reads, at high noon, just from and about to renew her daily work in her full strength of body and mind, Mary E. Hart, has been falling prostrate, remained unconscious until she died at midnight, October 15th, 1872. Hmm. And one of her relatives had a number of, couldn't sleep and had a sort of premonition that she had been buried alive and supposedly asked that her body be exhumed, and it was found that it was. Now, that seems to be lore.
They saw scratches on
the
chest.
You know, you never know.
Yeah. Well, it happened a lot. This is why I think we started embalming people, is because we would bury them and they would wake up.
Right.
And there used to be that string they would put down to, what the hell was that called, that bell?
The dead ringer?
Dead ringer. That's Ooh, right. Yeah. Dead ringer. They would bury you and they'd put a bell and a string in case you woke up, in case they got it wrong.
Right.
You could ring the bell and they would dig you.
Yeah,
and
not a very glamorous solution.
Now you can text.
In the 1800s, there was all kinds of tales of various things. Midnight Mary, it's not true, not known to be true that she was buried alive. Some people claim later that she was. But there are plenty of tales of burials of people being taken from their burial graves. Bathsheba Smith in West Haven in 1824 was a famous, and it was open, sort of Yale students took her body from the grave in West Haven. They needed bodies to do for their medical experience, and this was probably fairly common. Anybody, Harvard, Dartmouth, all kind of places did this all over the place, and this was fairly open. And people got really angry at Bathsheba Smith and went to Yale and were threatening to burn the place down, basically. And it led to all kinds of things. And one Yale student was actually convicted of that. And it led to the state then deciding to give bodies in a more open and clear way to places. So before that, there was no sort of set way of people getting bodies. So
just take them.
Yep.
Holy crap. Robin Killingworth.
Hello.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hi.
Good morning.
Here we go.
What you got?
Yeah, I got a buddy that he peed on her grave same night he got shot in the butt, and it came out by his pecker, and he had to wear a bag for almost a year.
Hmm. Oh.
Do you have that anywhere?
Yeah.
Michael, Damn. Do you have that anywhere in your historian book?
You pick up all kinds of new things, so maybe that's one more half next year.
That person was a crack shot.
It's more recent history.
AJ is a crack shot. That's good. All right, well, came from. Rob, thank you for that. Do you have the date for that? Because Michael would like to write it down in the history of New Haven.
Yeah, I was like in the early 90s. His name was Danny.
All right, early 90s.
Give us something to begin with.
Okay, early 90s.
We'll call him Bullet.
Yeah.
You know, witches go way back in Connecticut. We think of witches and think of the famous Salem witch trials in Massachusetts, but actually witches were here earlier, and there was trials in Connecticut from 1647 to 1663.
Witches were in Connecticut before Salem.
Yeah.
Salem... famous.
Maybe they had witches before, but the famous trials are later than the ones that happened here, 1647 to 1663. There was a whole bunch of trials, particularly in Hartford, and a number of them have various things written up about it. There were four prosecutions and two slander suits of witches in New Haven as well in those earlier periods. So I don't know about this guy in 1990 doing his various things, but we do know witches were here in 1647 to 1663.
Well, he peed on a grave and then later shot in the butt and it came out near his wiener.
Yeah.
You know, there's the lesson. Don't
pee on the grave.
You picked the wrong grave to pee on. All right, let's talk to this girl. What was the movie you saw last night, Ruth? Popeye the what man?
Popeye the Slayer Man.
The Slayer Man.
Killer spinach. Nice.
All right. She's an actress in Popeye the Slayer Man. Sarah Nicklin, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
How many horror movies have you been in?
Oh, way too many. my IMDb says somewhere around 120 or something like that.
Wow.
Damn. Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Wow.
But they're really fun, you know, especially this time of year with Halloween coming up, and everyone just really likes to get into that spooky spirit.
Oh, so cool. You know
scared.
Who wants to do that? Ruth would want to do that. Can you get her into a couple of movies?
Yeah. What kind of movies? There's lots of different types of horror movies.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, you got slashers, you got thrillers, you got campy horror movies, you have body horror. Like, there's so many different.
All right, hold on.
Zombies,
I'm writing this
vampires,
down. Slasher,
so
campy.
Many
comedy
yeah.
versions. Comedy's cool.
There's slasher, campy. What did you write after?
Thrillers.
Thriller, right?
Thrillers. Thriller. Yeah.
Psychological horror.
Right.
My guess would be Ruth would want to be in campy.
Oh, campy all the way. Yeah, I'm all about the B movies.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes. That's exactly it. If you just watched Popeye the Slayer Man, that's exactly what that is. Nice. So that makes sense.
All right,
I loved it, by the way, and you were great.
All right, so is it a spoof?
Thank you.
Is it a spoof on Popeye the Sailor Man?
So basically, yeah.
It's a guy in a Navy suit and
olive.
Does he? All right. So wait, hold it. He doesn't eat. Does he eat spinach? Like then he becomes a monster, or what happens?
So he's kind of haunting this abandoned spinach factory where that closed down because the spinach was being contaminated.
This is great.
Unbelievable. Nice. I love it.
It's great. It's
so, yeah, it's really fun. And then there's, you know, this group of kids that go and explore the spinach factory and are not very respectful. And so Popeye has to come out and set things straight.
So is Popeye alive or is he a ghost?
I mean, in the lore of the film, he's a ghost. He is actually physically alive because he does a lot of killing. He pops a lot of heads, breaks a lot of wrists.
Wow.
Does he have those giant forearms like Popeye the Sailor Man?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, killer tattoos,
he wears the whole sailor outfit.
Oh, wow.
My favorite line is when you're like, "You're a monster." And he's like, "I am what I am." That was the best.
I am what I am.
I'm going to kill you all.
Oh, that's great.
It's lots of fun. It's a good one.
So you get
is there olive oil?
Oh, that's a good question.
No, there's actually, so we don't actually have olive oil. It has to do just with the rights with public domain and which characters were available or not. So we don't have olive oil.
Yeah.
No Bluto,
no Wimpy.
No Wimpy. I will gladly kill you Wednesday for a sword today.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Once Wimpy becomes available, I'm sure that'll be its whole own franchise. Yeah,
how many Popeye the Slayer Man movies are there?
So there's only one right now. So it came out earlier this year, and it's done really, really well. So they are talking about potentially doing a sequel to it sometime next year.
Oh, that's cool.
Cool.
Yeah. Nice.
Do you know Andrew Gernhardt?
Oh, Synthetic Cinema.
That's right.
Yes.
Boom. Yeah. Yeah. I knew him back. So when I first started out and I was, working, living in Connecticut, I knew him from Synthetic Cinema.
Yeah, because he used to produce horror movies, and I went to and brought Young Chaz to the set of some of his movies, and then now he's making Hallmark Christmas movies.
Yeah,
different kind of horror.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that change. A different type of horror.
Yeah, so different. Yep. Yeah, exactly. Different type of horror. Of all of the horror movies you've been in, which one is your favorite so far?
Well, I have another one that's out right now that's really fun called VHS Halloween. It's part of that VHS anthology found footage franchise. So it's the eighth film that they've done, and that's currently playing on Shudder and Prime and AMC Plus. And that one's really, really fun because I get to play a suburban mom who's like this homemaker who turns into this badass monster killer. So I got to battle a whole bunch of different types of monsters in our home haunt that comes to life. So that one's really cool.
Those are the most compelling stories, whether it be The Shield or Breaking Bad, or where you see someone start out, they're just a good regular person, and through circumstances of life, they become this super badass person. Mm-hmm. You saw it in The Walking Dead with some of the, like, Carol was like this meek.
Oh, Carol's a great character arc.
Great character.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. Is that what kind of happens to your character?
Yeah, exactly. And she's not abused like Carol was at the beginning.
Yeah.
But she is just, it's set in the 80s. And so she is that just typical, like, suburban, quiet mom. And yeah, she does get to transform. And it's the whole thing of, like, a grandmother lifting a car to save their grandchildren, that adrenaline rush and what you'll do in that situation in order to save your family. And I just love playing those kind of more physical, active roles. And they're so much fun.
And that's available now?
Yep, that is currently available on Shudder and AMC Plus and Prime.
Nice. Okay, I'm going to watch that this weekend.
It's really fun.
Ruth, did you see it?
I saw most of it. Because it's like five individual stories and they're kind of tied together. Yeah. And so I watched the first two, and then it was getting late, so I skipped ahead and I did watch theirs, which I loved.
Which one are you in? You're in the one that's out now?
Yeah, so it's an anthology, and so the segment that I'm in is called Home Haunt, and it's the last segment in the film.
Oh, do I have to watch all of them to watch you?
I mean, you can skip around as much as you would like.
Yeah,
they have a lot of variety.
I'm going to go right to the end and see how they're doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see you in action.
Very different from Popeye the Slayer.
Gotcha.
I might start with that. Well, thanks for coming on. Congratulations with your career. What are you doing for Halloween? What does a horror movie actress do on Halloween?
That's a lot of pressure, I feel like.
It is a lot of pressure. I mean, so usually my husband and I throw a big Halloween party with all of our friends and lots of industry people. But this year, I'm actually in Atlanta right now on a movie, so I'm not going to get home until Halloween night. So we're just going to go to some friends' parties.
Sounds good. Yeah. No cleanup. Just go enjoy and then go home.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yep. That's the way to do it. Put on some movies and, hand out candy to trick-or-treaters. All that sort of stuff.
Well, Popeye the Slayer Man and VHS Halloween on my playlist this weekend. Thank you, Sarah.
Yes. Fantastic. Thank you so much, guys.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityCairo.com. That's AbilityCairo.com.